Well, beloved, you all know, most of you at least, that we've been speaking and preaching on a series we've called Holiness of Heart. And it began 8 weeks ago. And I believe, unless the Holy Spirit says differently, that this might conclude the series for this time. But God has a special reason. He has a purpose that he had us go over this series. And I just want to give a quick overview of what we talked about in the preceding 7 weeks to set the stage for what might be the capstone for the series for today's message. The first week, we just dealt with a general overview, and we defined what holiness is from the biblical perspective. And what we said is anything that is separated for God's sacred purpose. It could be objects, but most importantly, it's people. God separated himself, and he separated his people out of the world way back during Moses' time. And he told Moses to tell the people to be holy, be separated unto him, even as he is holy and separated unto his people. We also said that heart, it has to do with the control center or the seat of our intellect, our will, our feelings, and our emotions. And we came to this conclusion, that the actions of our heart determine who we desire to please. Because whenever we're talking about our motives from our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, it has to do with who are we trying to please. Yes. And as children of God, our first priority should be to please our Father. And so that's what set us on this journey to begin the series. Second week, we talked about how important it is to be aware of the words we speak. We said words matter. And Jesus said these words. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, again, that thing that drives us to say, to do, to act the way we do, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he says, look, a good man will bring forth good fruit. An evil man will bring forth evil fruit. He said, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And so the words that we speak are an indicator of what's in our heart. And then on the third week, we dealt with what it means in terms of how we manage our financial and our material resources. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there also is your heart. What's the treasure he's talking about? He's talking about the way we go about sustaining life, the way we go about seeking to satisfy our basic needs. And if the thing that we desire, the thing that pleases us most is to gather wealth, okay, and to not share it with others, then we have a bad motive. The treasure is the thing that's driving our motive, not so much our relationship with God. All right? And that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. That's God's, his principle, rules and commandments and statutes. He says, look, if we seek those things first and we're serious about it, God then takes the responsibility for adding all the other things we need in this life. Yes. So we know that, listen, God owns it all. We're just simply managers or stewards over the things that God puts at our disposal. Yes. So he says, look, you know, I know you need these things, but our focus and our attention and our desire should be on pleasing our God. And God wants us to act just like children, totally dependent on him. Yes. Put our faith and our trust in him with all things. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And then for 2 weeks, I talked about what it means to be in spiritual debt. Spiritual debt. All right? Word of God says we're to owe no man nothing except to love him. But he also gave us some clues and insight as to how we should manifest that kind of love. And that is through the act of forgiving those who commit trespasses against us. And so we also spent a Sunday dealing with forgiveness, what it means. When Jesus told his disciples to pray, forgive us our debts, even as we forgive our debtors. And we came to the conclusion that God is very serious about how we treat our fellow brothers and sisters. Yes. He says, look, if we don't forgive them, neither will he forgive us. And there's not many passages in the Bible where God says he's going to restrict his activity and his blessing. That's one of them. So we need to be very, very careful. And we need to take note and be serious about what God is saying to us. And then last Sunday, I talked about the process of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a process, folks. Let's just be real. I mean, we know what the Bible says. We know what God expects of us. But there's a process that we have to go through so that we can really, in genuineness of heart, we can forgive as God expects us to forgive. Because in our human nature, we can. When your enemy is railing against you, saying all manner of evil against you, when he or she is plotting to kill you, perhaps even literally, in our humanness, we can't forgive. We can't even love them. God says we're to love our enemy. Isn't that something? So without the Spirit of God controlling us, it's impossible. And that's the point we're trying to make here, is that, listen, we can't have holiness of heart if the Spirit of the living God is not consuming and controlling us. So today, beloved, I believe that God wants us to conclude this series for now, by talking about love. I've entitled this message, It's All About Love. I have several scriptures, relatively short passages, but without love, we can't do what God expects us to do. Amen. So the first scripture we're going to look at is found in Romans chapter 13. We'll begin with verse 8 and we'll conclude with verse 10. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. Concluding at verse 10 in the New King James Version of the Holy Writ. And the Word of God reads, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I just want to put a nickel in the parking meter. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but God is saying, look, we can't love our neighbor. We can't fulfill the law, which in Moses' day was many, many laws and statutes. But thank God for the finished work of Jesus Christ. He only gives us two requirements, two laws, and that is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Again, without the love of God, we can't accomplish that. And I want to kind of give us some sort of definition. What are we talking about biblically when we're talking about love? Well, there's a Greek word that's called agape. Many of you Bible students know what that means. But what it typically means is having affection for, the disposition to do good, and it's a God kind of love. And the God kind of love always looks at the welfare and the well-being of the object of the one who's being loved first before they look at themselves. And that's why God says, look, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God knew that the sin debt that the first Adam committed could not be recompensed or paid back because of the sin nature of man. So he sent his only begotten son, his sinless son, to pay our debt because he knew we needed a savior.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's the kind of God kind of love. And I just like to say this. When I counsel couples who are about to get married, I always go to the passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We won't go there today, but it talks about the God kind of love. If you have time, either review it or take a look at it. But love is a choice. That's the point I want to make.
Yes.
All right? Feelings are involved, but ultimately love is a choice.
Yes.
It's a choice for us to do things God's way. It's a choice for us to have faith, to believe in God's word.
Yes.
So our ability to love in the way God wants us is a choice.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise his name. So I want to answer a couple of questions, and then I'll be done. So the first question I'm going to raise is, why is it important for the saints of God to demonstrate godly love? Why is it important? Well, let's let the scriptures give us the answer. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 4, and we'll conclude at verse 12. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And when we look at what Jesus is saying to his disciples, it's almost like he's in the room talking to you and I, just like I am with you on this moment. So Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 4, reads, "And Jesus answered and said to them," he's talking to his disciples, "take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." And here it is. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And Jesus is describing what things would look like during the days before his second return. He called them the days of sorrow. And beloved, this is exactly what we are experiencing today. You've heard me say it, and other spiritual leaders, that we believe Jesus could come during our lifetime. So it's very important that we understand and discern the times and the seasons that we're living in.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that I believe that God wants us to do a self-imposed EKG on our heart.
Yes. Amen.
He wants to see if we are in right relationship with him and with our fellow man.
Yes.
Because Jesus could come during our lifetime. But he's explaining to his disciples, this is what's going to happen. He says, don't be troubled by it. I'm telling you what's going to happen. And here, standing in the stead of Jesus himself, I'm saying, listen, these things are happening. We're seeing these earthquakes. We're seeing these wildfires. We're seeing tornadoes. We're seeing hurricanes. We're seeing man being as evil as evil can be. Hallelujah. I remember our founding pastor Enoch Butler said, look, if society continues to be as evil and wicked, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying it. And so, beloved, we're living in an evil day. These pestilences, this COVID-19 corona pandemic, I believe is one of the pestilences that God said would come. But listen, we can take heart when we have the mind, we have the will, we have the desire to please our God, because he has promised that he would never leave us, he'll never forsake us. Let me give us another scripture to explain why it's important that the saints of God demonstrate godly love. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. And we'll begin with verse 1 and conclude at verse 5. Right? All right. So here's the Apostle Paul. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because what? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul is saying, look, you know, we have what it takes. Yes, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. But those things are designed to make us mature, to make us complete, that we lack nothing, as the Apostle James says. They're designed so that we'll be of benefit to someone who's going through perhaps a similar trial or tribulation. And having gone through, we can help assist them, and vice versa. You see, that's part of loving our neighbor even as ourselves. And so we need to understand and know that, listen, the love of God demands that, listen, we understand and we be attentive to what his word is saying to us in this day and time, in this dispensation, so that we can walk in the way that God wants us to walk, live our lives in a spirit of love, because the Bible tells us that God is love. The very essence of God is love. And God is spirit. And he's given us his spirit. He says he pours out his spirit into our hearts. Hallelujah. So, beloved, listen, we need to make a decision today. Are we going to do it the way God intends and God actually demands that we do? Hallelujah. I'm going to deal with a couple scriptures real quick, because I think we're going with a good pace here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, we're going back to the Old Testament, to the Mosaic law, because I want us to get an understanding that God and his relationship with his people goes way, way back, thousands and thousands of years ago, but it's still relevant to us today. God is one who does not change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, reads, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgment which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. that you may fear or reverence the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. See, that's a benefit of being obedient. And that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this is the greatest commandment that Jesus even taught his disciples. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We'll stop right there. But the point we want to make here is that, listen, God from the very beginning of dealing with the father of faith, Abraham,
yes,
and then through Noah, and then Moses, all these patriarchs, he always had a relationship with them. And he made covenants, promises, that listen, if you obey me, you can expect to get these kinds of blessings. You can expect me to protect you. You can expect me to bless you. You can expect me to do miracles,
yes,
on your behalf. But it, with this idea in mind, that you love me with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And then later on he says, we're to love our neighbor even as ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. This is the last scripture that we'll address today, but what I'm trying to get us to see here is that from the very beginning dealings that God had with his people, he made it clear of the two commands that we should not only embrace, but we should enforce. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you,
yes,
the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that command you today, you and your children with all your heart, and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out of the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. The last verse. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Now, beloved, in context, these are the words that God gave to Moses to speak over his people because they were coming out of captivity from the Egyptians.
Yes.
And I believe there's some relevance for us today.
Yes.
You see, many of us, and certainly as a nation, we have been held in captivity under the strength of satanic forces. We have left our God and we've gone after gods of material wealth. We've gone after gods of selfishness and self-control. We've gone after gods of political insights.
Yes.
We've gone away from doing the things that God has called us to do.
Yes.
And so God is calling us back as a nation. And that's why it's so important, beloved saints of God, that we begin and we continue and we are diligent about praying for our leaders and for our nation, praying for one another, loving on God and loving on one another. Because the world will know that we're his disciples by the love we show one toward another. So we start in our own home. We start in our own church community. And then we start at the world at large. But we must have love in our heart. It's all about love.
Yes.
And I'm talking about the agape kind of love. And beloved, I can tell you from experience, when we relent and we surrender, that's one of the reasons why we lift our hands before the Lord. Because we're saying, God, I surrender. I give it over to you. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm going to lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways, Lord, I want to acknowledge you in order that you might direct my path. If that's our true motive, God will begin to work with us.
Yes.
And that's why you hear me pray, Lord, work in us to will and do according to his good pleasure. Now, in his working with us, that means he's going to give us opportunities. He's going to give us trials. He's going to give us tribulation. He's going to test our faith to see if we really love him.
Amen.
And you know what? That's how we are as human beings. If someone says they love you, and if you're really serious about considering what they're saying, you look at their actions.
Yes.
Words are cheap. But we look at their corresponding actions, and I say this, and I'm going to wrap this thing up, but love demands that it be tested. You can't say you love someone and you hadn't gone through any tests with them, any trials or tribulations. That's infatuation, beloved. But love demands that you go through some difficult times. Love demands that you place the person, the object of your love, or persons, their well-being above your own.
Yes.
Love demands that we have the mind of Christ, who humbled himself, who came in the form of sinful flesh, but did not sin. The one who died on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
He died the death of crucifixion, one of the most cruelest forms of death. And he shed his blood, which was the only acceptable sacrifice that God would allow to cleanse all the world's sins.
Yes.
But his love was so great.
Yes.
That on the third day he rose.
Yes. Yes.
To the newness of life.
Hallelujah.
He defeated Satan. He defeated the effects of the grave and death. Also, that you and I might live the abundant life on this side of heaven and then the eternal life on the other side.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So listen, beloved, it's all about love. And if we don't have the love of God in our hearts, how can we say we're his children? If we don't love our fellow brother or sister, whom we see on a frequent basis,
yes,
how can we say we love God whom we've never seen?
Yes, amen.
It's impossible, beloved. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. And God is trying to bring us to the light. And he's shining the light on our heart. What motivates us? What do we look to please? Who do we look to please? And I'm suggesting and I'm submitting to you, beloved, we have to double down in our efforts to say, God, listen, for you I'll live.
Yes, yes.
And Lord God, when it's time for you, I'll die.
Yes, yes, yes.
But the Bible promises us, hallelujah, that listen, nothing, no thing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. God's love never fails.
Amen.
But I want to challenge you and I that it's a choice, beloved. It's a choice we must make every day, but even moments during the day.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because we are in a spiritual battle.
Yes.
And the battle is for our mind.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because our mind determines, hallelujah, what we say, what we do. Our actions determine our habits. Our habits reveal our motives. Our motives deal with our character. And our character is what God wants to conform to the image of His Son. Because God loves you and I so much so, He gave all that He had to give in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. But He also gave us the greatest gift that we could have, and that is through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You and I, beloved, we have the ability to love the way God intends for us to love. But we got to make it a matter of choice.
Yes, Jesus, yes. Yes. Yes.
God is not a man that He should lie. God defends His word, but He esteems it even above His own character. And God says, look, we're to owe no man except to love him.
Yes.
We're to love our Father.
Yes.
With all of our heart.
Yes.
All of our mind.
Yes.
All of our soul.
Yes.
And all of our strength.
Yes.
And when we do those things, Lord, thank you. He wants to heap upon us blessings, blessings that we can't even imagine. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into our heart.
Yes.
The things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God wants to release tremendous blessing in this time and dispensation, but it's got to be on His terms, in His way, in His timing. And I don't know about you, but as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord because I know He loves me and I love Him back.
Yes.